Thank you. My name is Tom. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Tom.
By the grace of God, I've been through this process as it's laid out in the big book with the help of a big book step study sponsor who's often seen shaking his head when I'm speaking. I've made some amends. I have more to make. And I practice 10, 11, and 12 on a daily basis to the best of my willingness. Thank you for asking me. And initially, I guess I was supposed to tell you how I qualify sitting in a room with alcoholics on Bill Wilson's 124th birthday. And I started, my first drink that I remember was at age 7. I don't remember any effect. I just remember the sun shining through this golden, effervescent drink that my father, I couldn't wait to be like my father, who was an alcoholic. And but I do remember the whiskey, honey, and glycerin that my mother kept for us children for when we had colds. And I remember how nice and warm that felt, the effect there. And so my brother and I developed a very sickly childhood and to make sure that that kept coming. Started drinking in earnest in high school. We had moved when I was a sophomore and didn't know anybody, so I found that I could thrive socially with drinkers. And so I tried to do a good job at that. And that was a pattern that, started to repeat itself through my life. I would, whether it was a new job or school or whatever, I could quickly seek out who was like me and who liked to drink like me. And then that way no one would bother me. I drank for 50 years before I came in. And I worked hard to create a life that would allow me to continue to drink. I would walk up to the edge before somebody would tell me, no, you got to stop. I didn't want to stop. So I just tried to manage my drinking so that I could get right up to the edge before somebody would throw me in jail or a hospital or whatever and say, you've got to stop, because I didn't want to stop. And so you can imagine, the erosion of relationships, the erosion of my soul, all that stuff for that decades of drinking. And I didn't have a white light experience to stop. I had a blue light experience to stop. That was the straw that broke. I had been struggling for probably from September to March with wanting to stop, daily struggle. I want to stop. I can't stop. I got to set this drink down. I can't set this. I think I'll just have another one. And so that was the. It's described in an earlier chapter, and that was my life for those months. And then when the event happened, the jackpot happened. It made it easier to make the decision, in the book it talks about the guy who goes to the barn to die to drink alone. I was living in the barn, and in the book there was a search party. There was no search party for me. There's people just didn't care to be around me, but I will say that the urge to drink left suddenly. I couldn't explain it, but once I called the central office and found out where to go, and how to get a ride to it, I just felt this sense of relief that I could only classify, I guess, as surrender. And it made setting down the drink initially easy. I didn't, from that point on, I didn't obsess about drinking all the time like I had used to. If I wasn't drinking, I was thinking about drinking. Because if I wasn't drinking, I was controlling my drinking. And, which meant I had to constantly think about it. So, luckily, I was able to, my father, who I had mentioned was an alcoholic, he died sober, 30 years of sobriety. And, luckily, I knew a little bit about AA. I'd never been to an AA meeting. And so I started going to meetings. And if you had told me that it was a spiritual thing. The day I walked in, or the night I walked in, I don't know if I would have stuck around. You know, all I knew was that I was in pain. These other guys, they must have been through it too. They're not drinking, so why don't I hang around? And you know, I wasn't approached to do step study right out of the gate. And I needed time to accept some things myself and to make the decision to make an effort, as opposed to just sitting in a room and hoping that I stayed sober through osmosis. I did stay in the rooms. You know, I went from like 100 and something meetings in the first 90 days, and but I needed to. You know, everybody's different. There's no way that I could just go back and sit in the barn and stay sober. I had to hear what I heard on a daily basis. And then you know, they say, you know, find a sponsor. So I found a sponsor that I thought would work out, and we started doing some of this work. And but I was also going to step study meetings, and they were very different. And and the process of working the steps was very different. And so I actually made the decision in the middle of my fourth step to change over to this. A lot of people say, you're crazy. You know, why don't you do your fourth step and then switch? But it wasn't thorough. And I knew there was something missing. And so I did switch, got a step study sponsor, and over the next 11 months of writing, managed to get through the writing and then move on to the higher steps, which prepared me. There was no way I would have been sponsored material prior to going through these steps. I had the opportunity to observe some pretty horrendous codependent sponsorship relationships with other people. And I said, geez, what is this? And, you know, I'd look up stuff on the internet and find all these horror stories about sponsorship until you get into the book. And there are clear directions. You know, it's like, as I proceeded through the steps, you know, okay, at the end of this, I'm supposed to sponsor people. What the hell am I going to do? But as you go through the steps, you go, oh, okay, now I get this, now I get this. So by the time I got the 12, I couldn't wait to sponsor somebody because I felt that, I had a responsibility. Somebody else took the time to take me through this, help guide me through this, and put me in touch with a higher power, help me put myself in touch with a higher power. And it was not right to sit back and enjoy those spoils without putting the effort in for other people to get the same thing that was, pardon the pun, the trite thing, but so freely given to me. It is true. It was freely given. And I have a responsibility, and which has rewards. It's not just feeling better for myself. And it was interesting. I was reading about when Bill was in Akron in 1935, and he was at the Mayflower Hotel. And when I first read this, it was quite a while ago. And he heard people drinking in the lounge, and he said, boy, that sounds like fun, but I know I better not drink. And he said, I better call another drunk. And I thought, what is he talking about? You know, why don't you just go in there and talk to all of them and have a good time while you're at it, you know? But so he called a church, I think it was, and they put him in touch with a lady who put him in touch with Dr. Bott. And the rest is history. But I just felt that was so foreign. Like, how is that going to keep me sober by talking to another alcoholic? You know, why don't I just, pray, but then as you get into this and you start to see the rewards, even with the people that don't work out, I love reading with a sponsee because, when you're reading with somebody and you think, how is this going to help this person? You look at it a little differently. And also working with sponsors, it raises my personal accountability. One example being step 11. If I wasn't going to sponsor and know that I was supposed to talk to people about step 11, I probably would have blown it off. You know? Yeah, meditation, okay. But I didn't want to not do a good job on that, so I forced myself. It does say earlier, last week, you know, we talked about where you got to work at it. And so I did, and that has paid dividends. It talks about a spiritual connection or a psychic shift. And, you know, when I first came in, there was no psychic shift. And there was no spiritual connection. And I guess in what they call the educational variety, where it takes a while. And it wasn't, you know, I wasn't having the bright light experience so much as I was just noticing. Geez, I used to do that, and I don't do that anymore. I used to feel this way, or this guy used to piss me off, or this, you know, and all that. So I could see that there were changes in me that, even though I worked very hard at it, I didn't think that I was responsible for it, for somehow. You know, it just sort of felt it happening. And so I attribute that to being in touch with a power other than the power of myself, which was all that was driving the bus for decades and going nowhere, going backwards. And the process has helped. I was at a funeral earlier today. A co-worker that I used to work with a long time ago. And a lot of us hadn't seen each other for 30 years or so. And everybody's coming up to me saying, "You look terrific. How do you do it?" And I felt like saying, "Soak yourself in alcohol for 50 years and then carefully dry yourself out." But if they had seen me 3 years ago, it would have, you know, I could barely walk, you know, I was a mess. And so as I'm there saying goodbye to somebody and people are coming up, all I could think of was what a gift this program has been for me. You know, I didn't feel particularly chipper or anything, but it was enough for several people to come up and comment, you know, who hadn't seen me for, you know, the last time they saw me, I was drinking. And they all thought, you know, it looked great. So the program does help. And so then when you reach out to somebody, I do enjoy beginner meetings. And I think it's a responsibility that I have to go to meetings other than step study meetings. Because, you know, unless somebody stumbles into these meetings, how are they gonna see an example of what working the steps can do? And I've been blessed with, you know, people approaching me. One of the things in here it talks about is make sure they're a real alcoholic. I have to relate. When I made the switch and I asked somebody to be my sponsor, and we went down by Sebago Lake to have that first meeting, and he was questioning me on my alcoholism. I'm like, how dare you question me as an alcoholic? I've been drinking since you were in short pants. And you know, I was like, what a perfect way to set me up, you know, get me to get enraged the fact that I was being questioned about how much I was drinking, and then, you know, have a highlight to myself the effect that it's had, and that there was no further denial about the fact that I was an alcoholic. I can tell you that much. And then getting back to the spiritual stuff, one of the things I've noticed is it's sort of a double message a little bit. You know, it says stress, express the spiritual nature freely, but then it says don't get up on your soapbox. So I'm sensitive about that because I know I was sensitive. And, you know, one of the things that allowed me to accept what people were saying was that I knew that everybody in the room had been through very similar things to what I had been through. Some not so bad, some a lot worse. All I knew is I didn't have to lie to those guys to put on airs. You know, we're all here. We're not here for know, some professional organization or a high school union or something like that. We're here because we're drunks, and we don't need to hide that fact from anybody in the room. And we don't have to hide the pain and the shame and all the things that comes with this illness. And so that makes it easy. It made it easier for me to connect with somebody else, to take to heart something that somebody else, you know, you hear in a share. Like tonight, I heard something in a meeting earlier tonight that was just blew me away, and from an unexpected source. And it hit me because it was, I could empathize, I don't know if empathize is the right word, but identify somewhat, but just know that it wasn't any BS that I was hearing. And, you know, it says in here that we can offer stuff that, you know, the doctors and nurses and social workers and therapists can't offer, because we can just bare open our soul and people will go, oh my God, they felt what I felt. And maybe they'll listen to our suggestions a little more. I used to work in that field, and I used to interview alcoholics in a psychiatric hospital all the time. Say, yep, you're an alcoholic. Yep, you're an alcoholic. And then go out and pound a few after work, you know. And we all know that you guys lie to us. Just, you know, like, how much do you drink a day? So we know that there's no connection there. And then they went and hired an alcoholic specialist who was in the program. And then all of a sudden, people started, you know, getting help. So I've seen it not only in these rooms, but I've seen it in a hospital setting that this can help people in ways that pills and therapy and all that can't. If you do the work, you will be getting a gift, and you need to share that gift. Thank you.